VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. We are having a news roundup day here today on the broadcast. We hope you'll stay with us throughout. A special feature today in that we have an interview that we're going to be airing here first off in this first segment. It's from SRN News, VCY being an SRN News affiliate, as he traveled with Vice President Mike Pence through Pennsylvania Wednesday. SRN News White House correspondent Greg Clugston was able to secure an exclusive one-on-one interview with Vice President Mike Pence. And so today, as part of our news roundup and as an affiliate, we are going to bring you this news interview. Let's listen in.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You've been delivering the message, life is winning, talking about the accomplishments of the Trump administration, Trump pro-life policies. As you look toward the election, what do you see as most at stake when it comes to life issues?
Well, Greg, it's good to have you here, and thank you for Salem being with us on the road in Pennsylvania. But I believe life is winning in America because we live in a time where we have the most pro-life president in American history. I mean, from the first days of this administration, President Trump has taken steps to keep the promises that he made to the American people. We suspended policies of the last administration that were working against conscience protections for health care providers in the country. We reinstated the Mexico City policy, which prevents taxpayer dollars from being used to fund or promote abortion around the world. And this president, working with pro-life legislators in the Congress of the United States, signed into law a bill that allowed every state in the union to defund the largest abortion provider in America. In addition to all of that, President Trump has seen confirmed more than 200 conservatives to our federal courts, including two Supreme Court justices. And when you lay down that record and you compare that with the agenda of Joe Biden and the radical Democrats, especially when it comes to life, the choice in this election has never been clearer. If you cherish the sanctity of life, if you cherish religious liberty, if you cherish all of the ideals enshrined in our Bill of Rights and our founding documents, the choice is clear. We need four more years of President Donald Trump in the White House.
In my reporting and conversations with, in particular, Christian voters, I do hear a common theme expressed by some of social religious conservatives, not all, but some, and that is this. They favor the president's policies on abortion, on religious liberty, but at the same time, they may be unhappy with his behavior or language at times. Have you heard that concern, and how do you address that issue, which is facing some of your key supporters?
Well, I think the president enjoys very broad-based support among believers across the country, because he's done what he said he would do. Literally, in the last campaign, this president said that he would appoint conservatives to our federal courts at every level, who literally published a list from which he said he would draw if there were openings on the Supreme Court. And, Greg, that's exactly what he did. Two vacancies on the Supreme Court were drawn from that list, and in the days ahead, we're going to publish another list of principled men and women from which he'll appoint to the courts. But we've stood for religious liberty, the freedom of religion of every American, suspending enforcement of the Johnson Amendment, which was muzzling places of worship and religious leaders around the country. But in one issue after another, I think the reason why the president enjoys that broad-based support among believers in this country is because he's done what he said he would do. He stood up for life and liberty, and I know we're going to enjoy great, great support from those voters come Election Day, November 3rd.
On that very point, echoing what you just said, the president has said he expects evangelical Christian support to even surpass the levels of 2016. Do you share that confidence?
I really think it could because, look, the last administration where Joe Biden was vice president, not only supported abortion on demand and literally abandoned the sanctity of life. But beyond that, on the subject of religious liberty, the last administration literally was waging war on the Little Sisters of the Poor. I mean, here was a group of nuns who'd taken a vow of poverty. But when Obamacare passes into law, Joe Biden and the last administration literally went to the court to force them to abandon their values in their health insurance plan. Well, in our first year, President Trump, on the National Day of Prayer, he ended the assault on the Little Sisters of the Poor. And not long ago, the Supreme Court voted by 7-2 to make it permanent. But even in the midst of that, Joe Biden has said if he's elected president, he'll work to reimpose the Obamacare mandates back on the Little Sisters of the Poor. And I think on life, on religious liberty, understanding the vital role that freedom of religion has played and will always play in the life of this nation, there's only one choice come November 3rd, and that's President Donald Trump.
I want to shift gears and talk about coronavirus, a couple of questions on that. Yesterday, the Biden campaign issued a statement accusing you and the president of using a COVID-19 vaccine as a political tool. How can you convince the American people that politics will not be a part of the approval process for the vaccine?
Well, I couldn't be more proud of the way the American people have responded over the last 8 months in the midst of the worst global pandemic that we've seen in 100 years. And the leadership that President Trump has provided from very early on has made an enormous difference in the life of our nation. I mean, before there was a single case of community transmission recorded in this country, before the end of January, President Trump suspended all travel from China and stood up the White House Coronavirus Task Force. In the first week of February, we went to work on a vaccine. The moment that we got the coding for the coronavirus, our National Institute of Health began the research. And because the president's been clearing out of the way red tape, we're literally in phase 3 clinical trials for a coronavirus vaccine in just 7 months. I mean, Greg, usually vaccines will take years to develop. And after they're approved, then they're manufactured. So it takes even more time and more years to develop them. Because of the president's leadership, all throughout this year, as we've reinvented testing, literally now we're doing 750,000 tests a day, as we saw to the manufacture and the delivery of literally hundreds of millions of medical supplies to our wonderful doctors and nurses. As we've been there, as states have dealt with outbreaks, as we saw again this summer in the Sun Belt, all along the way, we've been moving quickly and safely toward the development of a vaccine. And we all remain convinced that we'll have a coronavirus vaccine, one or more, before the end of this year. But, you know, the amazing thing as well, under President Trump's Operation Warp Speed, we're not waiting until it's approved to manufacture the vaccines. We're actually manufacturing promising vaccines today so that the moment that the FDA says that a coronavirus vaccine is safe and effective, we will have tens of millions of doses to pass out. That's why it really is unconscionable that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are playing politics with the coronavirus vaccine by calling in to question the work that's been done for months and months by our very best researchers in this government, by great American pharmaceutical companies. And it really has to stop. I mean, we're talking about American lives, and every American can be confident that we will cut no corners in the development of a coronavirus vaccine. But the moment that it is safe and effective, we don't need voices like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris undermining public confidence in a coronavirus vaccine. The American people deserve better, and they can be confident under this president, under all the great scientists, under our incredible and innovative pharmaceutical industry. I truly believe we're going to have a safe and effective coronavirus vaccine before the end of this year.
One more on this topic. Despite how what you've just laid out, the president has faced some criticism that perhaps early on he downplayed the severity or the danger of coronavirus. As the head of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, can you assure the public that that was not the case?
From the moment that the president stood up the White House Coronavirus Task Force in January, and then in late February when he asked me to lead the task force, he directed us to deploy the full resources of the federal government with urgency, to call on the full strength of the American economy to meet this moment, whether it be when the president suspended all travel from China before January was out, whether it be when we started the process of reinventing testing across the country to make sure that any American who wanted a test could ultimately get a test, whether it be the fact that we saw to the delivery and manufacture and distribution of hundreds of millions of personal protective equipment, or whether it be in the development of medicines like convalescent plasma and remdesivir that have literally saved lives across the country. All along the way, President Trump has made it clear that we would spare no expense in making sure that every American had access to the level of health care that we'd want any one of our families to have. And in the midst of all of that, we also recognize that there was significant impact in our economy. 22 million Americans lost their jobs at the height of this pandemic. President Trump went to the Congress, secured $4 trillion in benefits for families, in support for small businesses. And as we sit here today, we've already seen 10 million Americans go back to work, and we're opening up America again. So what I can tell you is from leading the White House Coronavirus Task Force, President Trump gave us one mission, and that's save lives. And he directed us to deploy the full resources of the federal government and to call on the full strength of the American economy to do that. And I couldn't be more proud of the leadership that he's shown.
Sir, we have time for one last question. Looking at the calendar, you have a vice presidential debate scheduled 4 weeks from tonight. I'm wondering if you've started your debate preparations and what's the key to winning that debate?
Well, we're looking very much forward to it. We'll be in Salt Lake City that night for the vice presidential debate. I couldn't be more honored to be President Trump's vice president, to have been asked to run and to serve with him again. Look, I know that the Democrat nominee for vice president is a skilled debater, but facts are stubborn things. And we're going to lay out a record of this president that rebuilt our military, revived our economy through less taxes, less regulation, more American energy, free and fair trade, appointed conservatives to our courts at every level, stood with the men and women of law enforcement at every level, stood for law and order. And we're going to contrast that with the agenda of Joe Biden and the Democratic Party that wants higher taxes, socialized medicine, open borders, abortion on demand, and actually wants to cut funding for law enforcement at a time that we see violence in many of our cities. So my job that night, I'm looking forward to a vigorous debate, but really laying out the choice for the American people, telling the story of what President Trump has done, telling the choice the American people face. And I have every confidence that when the American people see that choice, we're going to get 4 more years of President Donald Trump in the White House.
Vice President, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Greg. Great to have Salem along today.
Okay. Again, this was SRN News White House correspondent Greg Clugston, who was able to secure this exclusive one-on-one interview with the vice president. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to a number of news stories here today that Sandy's been gathering and preparing for our news roundup. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are we making any progress with a creationist view of the unborn?
Yes, it seems we are, Chris, although there's positive and negative steps being taken. More and more people are being educated on the personhood of the unborn child and the need to protect it. Even efforts to clone humans are helping in the sense that there's much scientific evidence now for the unique personhood of the fertilized egg. Unfortunately, this doesn't always carry the day with legislatures and judges, for they often rule that such a person has no individual rights and can be aborted. We yearn for a day when even the courts go back to Genesis for their thinking.
Thank you, Dr. John.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and having a news roundup day here today. We're going to continue with an article here from townhall.com in which, earlier this week, we told you that President Trump, he hosted the Israeli Prime Minister and also the Foreign Minister from the United Arab Emirates and also the Bahrain Foreign Minister. It was at the White House. He signed the Abraham Accords. Jimmy DeYoung was with us for this. And this is to usher in the official normalization between the three countries. Well, what's interesting is that this video has surfaced since, as then Secretary of John Kerry indicated what President Trump did would never happen. And it goes back to 2016, a video clip surfaced, John Kerry adamantly declaring in 2016 that there would be no separate peace in the Middle East between Israel and the Arab world without the Palestinians. You have to include the Palestinians. Let's just refresh our minds and our ears with what John Kerry said at that time.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no. I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace. Everybody needs to understand that. That is a hard reality.
Well, guess it was a wrong misconception. It was certainly not what transpired because, according to Mr. Kerry, what happened with President Trump just could not happen. Let's go to FoxNews.com. The Chinese government intentionally manufactured and released the COVID-19 virus that led to mass shutdowns and deaths across the world. That's a claim from a top virologist and whistleblower. This is Tucker Carlson who spoke, but he is the one who interviewed Dr. Li Mengyan. Whether she believed the Chinese Communist Party released the virus on purpose, yes, of course, it's intentional, she responded. I worked in the WHO reference lab, the World Health Organization lab, which is a top coronavirus lab in the world, in the University of Hong Kong. And the thing is, I get deeply into such investigation in secret from the early beginning of this outbreak. I had my intelligence because I also got my own unit network in China involved in the hospital. I also went with a top coronavirus virologist in the world, she said. And this virologist who specialized in immunology at the Hong Kong School of Public Health says she has evidence that COVID-19 is man-made. Dr. Li Mengyan appeared Friday on British television as well, reports WND.com. She said she fled Hong Kong and is now in the U.S. because her life was threatened. The Chinese government, the doctor said, already had removed all her information from government files. That the virus came from a wet market in Wuhan is a smokescreen. This virus is not from nature, she said. The genome sequence is like a human fingerprint. And based on this, you can identify these things. And I use this evidence to tell people why this has come from the lab in China, why they are the ones who made it. She said she was one of the first scientists to study the coronavirus that would become known as COVID-19 and claims at the end of December 2019, she was asked by her supervisor at the university to look into an odd cluster of SARS-like cases that had erupted in mainland China. Chinese officials, though, continue to insist there's no evidence that the virus was created in a lab. Also, from the Patriot Post, the coronavirus genome is possessed by other researchers. So, of course, the obvious question is, why did Dr. Yan is among the few making her charges? She blames the big suppression coming from the Chinese Communist Party government and that also their friends in the scientific world. In fact, she said she's target for being disappeared by the Chinese government. From CNSNews.com, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden suggested Thursday night that President Trump had nothing about the emerging coronavirus outbreak during his State of the Union address early this year. During a CNN town hall in Pennsylvania, Biden contrasted Trump's response to the crisis to his own, implying that he had been way out ahead of the president. And he said, imagine had the president at the State of the Union, imagine if he had said something. How many more people would be alive? Now, friends, we're going to let you hear what Joe Biden had to say in his criticism of President Trump. And then on the heels of that, you're going to hear that indeed President Trump brought this up at this year's State of the Union. Let's hear the clips.
And it's been the failure of this president to deal with this virus. And he knew about it. He knew the detail of it. He knew it in clear terms. Imagine had he at the State of the Union stood up and said, when back in January I wrote an article for USA Today saying, we've got a pandemic, we got a real problem. Imagine if he had said something. How many more people would be alive?
Protecting Americans' health also means fighting infectious diseases.
The State of the Union.
We are coordinating with the Chinese government and working closely together on the coronavirus outbreak in China. My administration will take all necessary steps to safeguard our citizens from this threat.
Okay, so he did mention it during the State of the Union and addressed it there. So what Joe Biden said this week, totally untrue. If only the president had addressed it. Now, there's something else that's interesting. From Newsmax.com, Joe Biden is also catching heat for saying that all the coronavirus deaths in the United States could have been prevented if President Donald Trump had done his job. He said this Thursday night during a town hall on CNN, quote, if the president had done his job from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people. I'm not making this up. Just look at the data. Look at the data. Well, that remark drew plenty of criticism from media organizations and news personalities. I mean, you've got the liberal Washington Post writing, quote, actually, Biden is making this up. There is no data to support it. Politico, they're not known for being right wing. Here's what they said, quote, but Biden vastly overstated what protections could have worked against the virus. He argued that Trump had done his job. Everybody would still be alive. Dash, not true. Let's go on to WND.com. Joe Biden was wrong, and not just by a little, during a Wednesday campaign stop in Michigan. He said there had been 6,114 military COVID deaths and 118,984 service members infected with the coronavirus. The true number of military deaths from COVID-19 was 7 as of Wednesday, the Department of Defense said. Now, the true number was 7. He said 6,114 military COVID deaths. That means his estimate was 873 times the actual fact, WND reported. The number of service members infected stood at 40,026, the DOD said, almost 79,000 cases lower than what Biden reported. Let's go to Breitbart, another story that's been coming out here this week. On Monday, Joe Biden admitted that his own proposed national mask mandate is unconstitutional. He had reportedly called for a federal mandate, often using it for an example of what he could have done differently about coronavirus and President Trump, whom Biden claims failed to act. He told CBS 5 in Arizona, there's a constitutional issue whether the federal government can issue such a mandate. He added, I don't think constitutionally they could, so I wouldn't issue a mandate. On Wednesday, he denied ever calling for a mandate and claimed it was that he was a constitutionalist. He said he would ask governors, mayors, county executives, anyone in authority to impose one. He said, I'm a constitutionalist. You can't do things the Constitution does not allow, give you the power to do. During the Democratic National Convention, Biden explicitly called for a national mask mandate. Newsmax.com, the federal government outlined a sweeping plan Wednesday to make vaccines for COVID-19 available for free to all Americans once a safe and effective shot is established and widely accepted, they report. In a report to Congress, federal health agencies and the Defense Department sketched out complex plans for a vaccination campaign to begin gradually in January or even later this year, eventually ramping up to reach any American who wants a shot. The Pentagon is involved with the distribution of the vaccine. Civilian health workers would be the ones giving the shots. Coming from the Epoch Times, the top communications official at the Department of Health and Human Services on Sunday accused a unit of career scientists at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention of plotting against President Donald Trump. HHS Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs Michael Caputo made the remarks in a Facebook Live video on Sunday, saying there are scientists who work for this government who do not want America to get well, not until after Joe Biden is president. Kuburo said. To allow people to die so that you can replace the president is a grievous sin, Kuburo said of the CDC scientists. Let's go to the newamerican.com. U.S. District Judge William Stickman IV ruled this week that the Democratic Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf's coronavirus restrictions were unconstitutional. The liberties protected by the Constitution are not fair-weather freedoms in place where times are good but able to be cast aside in times of trouble, he said. The plaintiffs in the case include various businesses such as hair salons and drive-in theaters and several Republican lawmakers. Also, you've been hearing a discussion regarding this initiative called a Color Revolution. This from WND.com, Democratic operatives, including some involved in the impeachment proceedings, are adopting the tactics that U.S. intelligence agencies used to start color revolutions in nations such as Ukraine to oust President Trump, contends a political theorist. Darren Beatty, a former Duke University professor and White House official, said what's unfolding before our eyes is a specific type of coup called a color revolution. It's a regime change model favored by many in our national security apparatus, particularly against East European countries, to overthrow regimes that they do not like. Also interesting news coming out from the Daily Wire. In a leaked call from the late 2016 between then-Vice President Joe Biden and then-Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, it undermined the incoming Trump administration and set up a back channel between Biden and the Ukraine president. During the course of the call, Biden badmouthed the incoming administration, saying the truth of the matter is that the incoming administration doesn't know a great deal about Ukraine and they were unprepared for the transition. Biden then went on to say, I don't plan on going away. As a private citizen, I plan on staying deeply engaged in the endeavor that you have begun and we have begun. In a matter of moments, Biden undermined the incoming administration, branded them as not knowing anything about Ukraine, and attempted to set up a foreign policy back channel for himself after he left office as a private citizen, which could violate the Logan Act. The Logan Act bars private citizens from engaging in U.S. foreign policy. These were the same accusations against John Kerry making his trips over to Iran after he was no longer Secretary of State. Daily Wire reporting, the Democrat-controlled Minneapolis City Council reportedly panicking now as violent crime is surging through the city after they called for defunding the police department following the death of George Floyd. During a two-hour Minneapolis City Council meeting on police reform, council members told the chief there that their constituents are seeing and hearing street racing, which sometimes results in crashes, brazen daylight carjackings, robberies, assaults, and shootings. Residents are asking, CNSnews.com, where are the police? Council member Jamal Osman said that during city council meetings on police reform, that is the only public safety option they have at the moment. They rely on MPD. According to the police chief, though, 100 police officers have taken a leave of absence or left the Minneapolis Police Department since January. That's double the number of officers who typically leave the department, Minnesota Public Radio is reporting. Isn't that interesting? We want to defund the police, and guess what? The city goes in turmoil. Carjackings and street racing and crashes taking place, and now they're saying, where are the police? We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free, or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk, and due to that lengthy interview in the first segment, the news interview with Vice President Mike Pence, we're going to take a majority of this segment as well to carry some stories, and we will be sure that we carry at least that final segment for you here on Crosstalk for your calls and comments. So we're going to ask that you formulate a very brief comments as it relates to issues, and have your mind formulate these very items. You know, yesterday was Constitution Day. Some 233 years ago, on yesterday's date, we saw our Constitution written and then sent for ratification to the states. And if you recall that famous question that was asked of Ben Franklin as he left the convention by a Mrs. Elizabeth Powell, she said, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" And Benjamin Franklin said, "A republic if you can keep it." And ladies and gentlemen, today we are seeing our Constitution under great attack. We're seeing our system of government under great attack. And as we see our Constitution under attack, I wonder to myself, I wonder how many of our listeners and our Crosstalk listeners actually even have a copy of the Constitution. Do you have one? Do you know what it says? Do you know when it's being violated? You hear the Second Amendment. Do you know what it says? What about that First Amendment? And so forth. We have obtained booklets called Documents of Freedom. It's a size of, well, it's a booklet that fits right into your shirt pocket or your purse. And this not only includes the Constitution, but in there also is the Declaration of Independence. There's a listing of all of the signers. The Constitution is in there, the Bill of Rights, all the amendments that have been passed since, as well as George Washington's farewell address. They're all contained in this booklet called Documents of Freedom. It's approximately 60 pages long. And matter of fact, we just ran out today. We're getting another shipment in this next week. And if you'd like to have a copy of Documents of Freedom, to have a constitution so you know what it is, what it says, and when it's being violated, we are making these available for a contribution of just $5, and that includes shipping to you. But it's called Documents of Freedom. Again, there's the Declaration of Independence, a listing of the signers, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, George Washington farewell address. And you can go to, I think it's in our Crosstalk store as well. Is that correct? And maybe we can even link that up to our main page of vcyamerica.org. You can see one of those older items up there that we can pull down. And you can call our switchboard here at 800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. Ask for Documents of Freedom. There have been people who have been ordering multiple copies of this, but again, it's a constitution. It fits right into your shirt pocket or handy to go in your purse. But if you want to know what it says, and then teach it to your children, and so that they have record of what this is. I don't know that it's even being referred to in a lot of the education system today. But again, if Documents of Freedom, it's available our way of saying thank you for your support of just $5. Let's go back to more of the news roundup here from WND.com. By the way, it should be up on VCYAmerica.org here shortly as well. More black leaders contend that the growing Black Lives Matter movement isn't really about empowering blacks. It's about destroying the American system and rebuilding it according to Marxist principles. The leaders recognize, points out Gatestone Institute's senior fellow Soren Kern, that Black Lives Matter is an ideological descendant of the Black Power Movement, the Black Panthers, the Black Liberation Army, and the Weather Underground. Those movements sought to overthrow the U.S. political system. The focus on racial issues, Kern wrote, appears to be a smokescreen for a much larger effort to dismantle the American economic, political, and social systems and rebuild them from scratch according to Marxist principles. And if you recall, one of the co-founders indicated, "We are trained Marxists." That's their words. We are trained Marxists. And then we also see, when you look up the mission or the goals of the Black Lives Matter movement, it bears out what Soren Kern was writing about. Well, friends, troubling news also out of Los Angeles. Protesters were voicing their hatred toward police officers this past Monday evening. A protest going on in South Los Angeles. There was a video that was taken by George Ventura. He's with the Daily Caller, but showing the protesters chanting, "Blue lives don't matter here." And they were doing this right in front of the officers. Let's listen in.
Blue lives don't matter.
Yeah, the blue lives don't matter here, and blue lives don't exist. Coming to us here from WND.com, the Department of Homeland Security, overwhelming intelligence they have that the nightly violence in Portland, Oregon, organized by members of Antifa. An email obtained by CBS News reporter Catherine Herridge by Brian Murphy, former acting undersecretary for intelligence and analysis at DHS, said in July that the violence had reached a level at which it could not longer be classified as opportunistic. Murphy said the violence was organized by individuals with an ideology categorized as violent Antifa anarchist inspired, or VAI. We have overwhelming intelligence regarding the ideologies driving individuals toward violence and why the violence has continued, Murphy said. A core set of threat actors are organized, show up night after night, share common TTPs, that's tactics, techniques, and procedures, and drawing on like-minded individuals to their cause. Matter of fact, I don't have time to get into it, but LifeNews.com has an article out that came out September 16th giving documentation here how Black Lives Matter, the founder of Black Lives Matter, is sending donations to communist China. Okay, by the way, the peaceful protests that we hear so often about, well, guess what? Insurance companies could be paying up to $2 billion in claims stemming from riots sparked by the police killings of George Floyd, making them the most expensive in U.S. history, a new report says. The record-setting insured losses pile up as demonstrators sometimes descended into looting, arson, and vandalism in 20 states across the country. That's from May 26 to June 8th. Again, over $2 billion, the most expensive catastrophe in U.S. history. The article is put out by Pamela Geller. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel just earlier today indicated that they will be presenting oral arguments this coming Monday before a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry regarding the request for an emergency motion for injunction pending appeal for Governor Gavin Newsom's unconstitutional orders. Also, as John MacArthur said this week, he's willing to go to jail for holding indoor services. He said this on Fox News. He said, "My biblical hero, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Apostle Paul. And when he went into a town, he didn't ask what the hotel was like. He asked what the jail was like because he knew that's where he was going to go spend some time." Let's see. Also from ChristianNews.net, a California church has been fined more than $100,000 for holding indoor church services in violation of the COVID restrictions. They're moving services back outside as members of the congregation sit in their cars and listen on their radios, honking their amens. This is North Valley Church of Santa Ana. Let's see. Interesting from Newsmax.com. Immigration and Customs Enforcement announced that two of the five charged in the MS-13 gang killing of a 16-year-old Baltimore girl were released by sanctuary city policies in New York and Maryland. The 16-year-old was found dead in late May, and five were charged in the killing, including three illegal immigrants and two who were set free by sanctuary city policies in Maryland and New York. That's according to ICE. Well, Kamala Harris accidentally let the truth slip. She called it a Harris administration. She was speaking at a business roundtable and let the word slip that this was going to be a Harris administration. Let's listen in.
Sure, you have a president in the White House who actually sees you, who understands your needs, who understands the dignity of your work, and who has your back. A Harris administration together with Joe Biden as the president of the United States, the Biden-Harris administration will have access provide access to $100 billion in low-interest loans and investments for minority business owners. We will provide $15,000.
Well, isn't that interesting? I had tried to make a quick recovery there, but it was just a day after that she called this a Harris administration, what a Harris administration will do. Joe Biden also referred to it as a Harris-Biden administration.
It's so much harder for military spouses to find good jobs and build their careers. We have to change it, and we're working on that. Working with leaders like Lauren Weiner, hiring our heroes, and military spouses employment program. For example, making it easy to carry your professional credentials with you from one state to another when your spouse moves. Harris Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort and keep pushing further to make it easier for military spouses and veterans to find meaningful careers, to ensure teachers know how to support military children in their classrooms, and to improve support for caregivers and survivors so much more than we do now.
Joe Biden also calling it a Harris Biden administration. Interesting. Freudian slip? I don't know. I'll let you draw that conclusion. Let's go to, this is IntelliNews.com. Joe Biden has said he is ready to walk the path of diplomacy with Tehran if Iran takes steps to show it is ready to. He says as president, he would take the U.S. back into the nuclear deal if Iranians return to strict compliance. That's right. He vows to return the United States to the Iran nuclear deal. AOC vowing to push Joe Biden further left, reports WND.com. She says Joe Biden is not progressive enough on many issues, but that he is likely can be pushed further to the left if he reaches the Oval Office. She said, one of the reasons why I was supportive of Senator Sanders was because of how progressive his stances are. But, you know, the primaries are over. And right now, what is the most important is to make sure that we ensure a Democratic victory in November and that we continue to push Vice President Biden on issues from marijuana to climate change to foreign policy. She said that she believes her party's progressive wing can move Biden to the left. Joe Biden also saying he is vowing to hike the corporate tax rate on day one of his presidency. Hey, this is interesting. Townhall.com. Election officials in Sussex County, New Jersey, discovered more than 1,600 uncounted ballots from the July 7th primary election. Oops. According to the Board of Education Administration, Marge McCabe, the ballots were discovered in a mislabeled box in a secure area, the New Jersey Herald reported. The ballots were reportedly counted and reported to the New Jersey Attorney General's office. McCabe said the new ballots didn't change any of the election results in any of the races. How do you just mislabel a box of primary ballots and just miraculously found them? Here's another oops. Townhall.com, election officials in Michigan recently discovered that in lieu of Mike Pence, the name of Jeremy Cohen, that is a libertarian running mate, was appearing under the name of Donald Trump. Within a roughly two-hour time frame, Tuesday afternoon, ballots downloaded from the state website to be mailed or emailed to those overseas had an error in the presidential race impacting how candidates and running mates were listed, according to the email sent from the state to clerks impacted by the error. The Michigan Secretary of State's office confirmed the error and apologized. And also out of North Carolina, Matthews, North Carolina, AP News reporting a mix-up with the first absentee ballot sent in North Carolina caused some voters to receive two identical ballots for the November general election, according to election officials. Boy, let's open some phone lines here. 800-733-9829. That's our number to crosstalk. We've got just one small segment left. Make your comments brief and to the point. 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. America is headed toward a color revolution. What is a color revolution? A color revolution is often carried out in countries to remove a leader who is deemed to be, well, illegitimate. He's often described as an authoritarian, a fascist, a dictator, a criminal, a racist. The color revolutions have often been carried out, even with the support of our Central Intelligence Agency, in other countries. I contend, and do many others, that a color revolution is now being laid here in America. And a big part of a color revolution is a political warfare agenda. And another word for political warfare is brainwashing, psychological information, propaganda, lies. You're hearing it now. You're hearing the lies being laid down about this election and about President Trump. Do your homework. Understand the narrative is being laid for a color revolution.
You know, so often NPR says, oh, no, there's no voter fraud going on. Well, guess what? They have found, Public Interest Legal Foundation found four individuals who claimed NPR West headquarters in Culver City, California, as their residence, voting in the 2018 via mail-in absentee ballots. That's right, four voters claiming NPR as their residence actually turned up in searching the California voting records. Let's go to William in East Troy, Wisconsin. William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, regarding Joe Biden with his mandatory mask mandate if he gets elected as president, my question about the governor, the coronavirus issue is that if evolution is true, and I would imagine that these people believe that evolution is true, why are they stopping the coronavirus? Maybe it's hindering evolution, and they should be embracing it because they believe in evolution. Hmm. But a quick quote, Joe Biden back in 1987 was caught plagiarizing things, and he made a statement after he got caught. He said, I've said and did dumb things in the past, and I'll say and do dumb things in the future. With that, Brother Jim, I agree with Joe Biden 100%. Thank you for your call today.
Oh, thank you, William, for your call here. Appreciate it. Let's go to Pensacola, Florida. Marcy, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been trying to get this point across to people about nursing homes, and I just don't talk to the right people. So I hope they're listening now. What it is I'm 80 years old. 2 years ago, I went to the doctor, and I said, one of my friends got pneumonia vaccination. He said, oh, yeah, you can get it after you're 50. I said, well, why didn't you ever give it to me? He said, well, you know, we just forget. So I called some nursing homes, and none of the people there had been vaccinated from in our area for pneumonia. So what happens is they get the COVID. But they're not dying from COVID. They're dying from pneumonia. So if they had the vaccination at the nursing homes, they would get COVID, but they would survive because they would have the pneumonia vaccination.
Okay. Thank you for expressing that. Marcy, I can't vouch whether, you know, with the impact that would have there, but you give you the opportunity to share your thoughts on it. Thank you. Let's go to Newark, Ohio. Kit, you're on the air.
Hi, I heard the actual conversation that Biden had on the Glenn Beck program, and it was mentioned that the reason they found it is it's been pulled off of the YouTube and off of Twitter, and Glenn Beck was able to find it because they had to go on the dark web because the actual phone conversation was on the Russian YouTube, and that's how they were able to find it through their sources. So I just want to mention everything is accurate, and it isn't fake because you can't fake the voice thing. You can fake video, and he made that comment. So I just wanted to add that to your excellent representation.
Kit, thank you for your call. We're going to Ironwood, Michigan, and Jeannie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. In my Ironwood Daily Globe, there was an article last night that said, oops, Vice President Mike Pence missing from some Michigan ballot.
Right.
It says President Donald Trump and Spike, who is a Libertarian Party candidate for vice president. So far, 400 ballots were downloaded by a clerk. They didn't know how many were sent, mm-hmm. and Governor Whitmer says approximately 400 so far, and it's a temporary error. Way back in the newspaper, not on the front page, of course.
Yeah. Thank you for that call. I appreciate it. And that's, just sums up what the story is that we reported earlier. And what's interesting, too, you know, this historic peace deal. I mean, it has been years and years and years such a peace deal. It was like not covered by mainstream media, the major media here across the nation. It was not covered. And even in newspapers whereby, you know, years ago, this may have been front page news. You find a little article that back multiple pages into the newspaper at this point. By the way, today, there's an interesting lawsuit that's been filed. This is coming from LGBTQNation.com, indicating the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission is suing Kroger on behalf of two former Christian employees for anti-Christian bias because of a rainbow heart on their uniform. We understand a couple workers in Conway, Arkansas, say they faced retaliation when they complained about a rainbow heart on the new aprons issued by their employer in April of 2019. And the EEOC taking the employee's side, issuing letters saying that there is reasonable cause to believe that Kroger violated the Civil Rights Act. This is something that they're saying this is representing LGBT values, and they are not wishing to be a part of that by their uniforms. Evidently, they were let go, and now action has been filed with the EEOC. MainePublic.org, for the first time in Maine, an openly transgender person has been elected to public office. This is Geo Neptune was elected to the school board in the Indian Township. The transgender advocacy organization Maine Transnet says this is the first time a trans person has been elected to office in the state. Speaking of this topic, J.K. Rowling from the Harry Potter books is coming under attack. She had once again, provoked the ire of transgender activists, this time because her new book is featuring a male serial killer who dresses as a woman. Daily Signal telling us the Maryland State Department of Education agreed to add expectations and implement new standards for high school U.S. history curricula that includes lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer individuals. WUSA 9 reported the changes are expected to be made in 2021 or in 2022. You wonder about education? The answer is always more money, isn't it? We need more money in education. Well, in an article from Terry Jeffrey at townhall.com, the public elementary and secondary schools in the District of Columbia spent $30,115 per pupil during the 2016-17 school year. And that's but only 23% of the eighth graders in the district's public schools were proficient or better in reading in 2019. That's according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress test. Similarly, only 23% of eighth graders in the district's public schools were proficient or better in mathematics. There is a problem going on in the education system, and money is not the solve-all for that various issue. Well, friends, I've got many more stories we did not get to here today on Crosstalk, but we thank you for tuning in and staying informed on many matters that are taking place. Just a reminder, if you'd like to get that Documents of Freedom, it's the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, George Washington's farewell address, all in one small booklet. We have them available. Our way of saying thank you for your support of just $5. It's available on our website at vcyamerica.org. vcyamerica.org or by calling 800-729-9829. Thanks so much for joining us, and if Lord willing, you can be in a Bible-believing local church this coming Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.